It's a new year with new tax laws. Will we see new economic growth too? This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with a wealth advisor and friend of the show to get the skinny on the economic forecast for 2018. And that cash crop of conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. Well, for all of the agitated mood swings in our national politics during 2017, Wall Street was having a Goldilocks year. Things were just right. And the passage of the once controversial tax law late in 2018 is giving the new year a significant tailwind, filling investors' sails with growth potential. Like it or not, companies are going to have an effective tax rate closer to 12 or 15% once they find the loopholes. That's money to buy more stuff and hire more people. Does the tax bill mortgage the future to grow the now? Well, of course it does. This is still America. To tee up 2018's economic and investment potential, we pulled in a veteran wealth advisor and friend of the show, George Nocetti.
George Nocetti, Morgan Stanley Wealth Advisor.
All right, George, let's tee up 2018, okay? I wanted to have you in because we did this last year, and we talked about the possibilities that were coming, right. Okay? And like you said in the pre-interview, last year was a policy year. This year is a political year. We're going to touch on that in just a second.
Right.
So let's go ahead and talk about the results of 2017. What did you see happen?
I hate to say this, but it was a perfect year. It was perfect in that all the indexes were up. If you look at the past 30 years, there's always a 10% correction in just about every year. I mean, that's historical.
Right.
There was no correction. This has been the longest period of time that any of the indexes have had a correction.
Should I be fearing that right now?
Well, yeah. Whatever comes up has to come down.
Okay.
And that's the question I get asked every day. When is it going to come down? But one thing we have in our favor, Jason, is that we have good fundamentals. This is different than the year 2000 when we had the dot-com bust.
Mm-hmm.
There were no fundamentals. 2008, the banks were a disaster. There were no fundamentals. But since 2008, we have been rebuilding back. Our fundamentals are really good. We've had 87 straight months of job growth. Since 2010, 87 months of consistent job growth. The unemployment rate is 4%. I'm projecting in 2018 that it goes below that.
Really?
3.9 or 3.8, which creates other kinds of problems. But on the good part, it's, you know, everybody's working.
Right. Things that didn't catch up, though, George, wages. Did not catch up.
Wages did not catch up. But actually, if you compare wages to inflation, wages grew above inflation. So that doesn't make us feel good because, you know, we'd like to get a 7% increase, but inflation has been sub 2%.
Right.
So, but however, looking forward to 2018, when we have low unemployment, and if we're going to grow this economy in 2018, which we can talk about in a moment.
Yes.
You need people. You need people in jobs.
Right.
And where are we going to get all these people? So with a lower supply possibly – and higher demand, it's going to create wages to creep up.
So tax stimulus, the controversial bill is now law, and we're hoping that that is a growth generator, right?
It's a major tax bill, okay? So what it's doing, and the main beneficiary of this, make no mistake of this, is business.
Mm-hmm.
So you have business in three segments. You have small businesses, mid-sized businesses, and large businesses. The effective tax rate for business is going to be really about 10-11%, which means there's going to be a lot of available capital. So who's going to use that? Well, the small and mid-sized businesses want to grow. So they're going to take that capital and they're going to invest in their business and hire people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to happen almost 100%.
Back to your 3.9, 3.8.
Exactly. Right. But then you've got the large cap businesses, the S&P 500. They've done extremely well without any stimulus. They've been able to pay down debt, buy back stock, and pay dividends. The question really is, will they use that stimulus money to increase their plants and facilities and hire more people?
CapEx.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're seeing CapEx expenditures projected to have some growth, but it should be significant based on these tax cuts. But that's kind of the red herring now. Will that happen? Will it not happen?
Sure. And it's a red herring. It's also a political red herring because the pushback on the tax bill was it's going to be stock buybacks and bonuses for executives.
Exactly. And that's really the heart of the United States is the small and mid-sized businesses. I mean, those are the people that hire people. They put money into their businesses. They're not paying big salaries to CEOs. They're putting their money back into growth.
Right.
And that's what our economy needs. So I think we're definitely going to see that. It's going to have an effect. If the large caps also do the same thing, large businesses, it could be substantial. That'll start to create more inflation.
Right.
Because there'll be demand for labor. Prices will go up. And actually, some inflation is actually good for us because right now we're sub 2%, right?
Right.
And we want to get more towards normalization.
Let me circle back one time on something you said earlier, and I want to make a point about it, because if your projections are at 3% GDP growth, 2.5% was a common expectation coming into the year. This is before the tax bill was passed.
Right.
But remember, 0.5% of $17 trillion is a lot of money.
It's a big number. And we haven't done that in 10 years. If we do, it'll be the first time in 10 years that we've gotten a 3% real GDP. We're actually looking at a nominal GDP, which is when you add back inflation, of about 5%.
You said earlier that something I want to circle back on, that the lower unemployment rate at, say, 3.8, 3.9% creates some other problems. What are those?
Well, it's called supply and demand. I mean, right now we have about 8 million jobs that are open, and we have about 1.5 people per job competing for those jobs, which means that a lot of jobs are unfilled. So if we have growth, where are these people going to come from?
Right.
So I kind of think on 0.5% growth from 2.5% to 3% GDP,
right,
I kind of think we're going to struggle a little bit, but we're going to be okay because we do have a lot of slack in the workforce. Slack means really somebody is 50, 55 years old. They lose their job because of robotics and other things,
right,
but they're very talented and very smart. They go be an independent contractor. They're kind of hidden in the workforce. But if a real job comes up with benefits, they come back in. And I think we have that kind of slack still that will help us struggle, but help us, you know, meet the demands. Now, if our GDP surprises us and grows over 3%, I know the president is projecting 4 or 4.5, which is, I think, pretty much impossible.
Right.
But if it gets over 3, you have to find available labor to do that. And when you have a shortage, that, again, really hurts the economy and the flow of money and consumers, you know, borrowing and spending money.
But the unemployment rate is a trailing indicator. What are some leading indicators we could keep an eye on as we move through 2018?
Well, again, I mean, I mentioned that we had 87 straight months of job growth.
Okay.
If you look at the earnings reports on the largest companies, that's what you have to look at. That's the clear indicator of how our U.S. economy is doing. Last year, every quarter, the 85% of the large companies beat their sales expectations. We're expecting the fourth quarter results to come out. You know, they're coming out now, and we expect these large companies to meet expectations. Once you see these large companies not meeting their sales targets, that means there's an economic slowdown. But again, you know, let's just not look here in the United States.
Okay.
We have global expansion going on right now.
Right.
I mean, if you look at Europe last year outperformed the U.S. slightly.
Right. And they were a little bit late to the recovery game.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So they're just fresh in their bull market right now. We're at the tail of our bull market. And that's why we don't want to have all of our eggs in the United States basket.
Okay.
When we talk about diversification, it means we want to have a certain percentage in developing markets and in Europe.
Okay.
Because those markets are really growing. Developing markets outperform the U.S. market by 2 times, but it's a very volatile market. So somebody that has a really good, organized, diversified portfolio, they have a certain percentage of their money in the U.S., certain percentage in Europe, a certain percentage in developing markets. And it's important to diversify because we won't have an encore of 2017 in 2018. It'll be a nice year, I think.
Right.
But it's going to be a nice little uptick and then a pullback.
Right.
We're going to start to see some rockiness because it's also a political year.
I want to stay on developing markets for a second, if we could, George, because those intrigue me. Because I remember when I was a younger man filling out my 401k, what percentage of exposure to risk I was willing to take on.
Exactly.
Right? And so as a younger person, you tend to take on a little bit more risk because your reward could be higher, right? And then you shrink that as you go. Okay. Having said that, what do you see with developing markets and why would you diversify into a riskier pool like that?
Well, first of all, when we talk about developing markets, what are we talking about? We're talking about India, China, Russia. You know, those countries that are
BRICS that are moving towards
developing their middle class.
Okay.
That's what we're really talking about. Those countries have a lot of natural resources.
Moving towards a consumer economy?
Moving more towards a consumer economy.
Okay.
You see China is very apparent how they're doing that.
Right.
They're growing their middle class right now. However, when you're in a startup growth mode, there's more volatility. So that in diversifying your portfolio, when you're a young man, you're going to have a higher position in developing markets. When you get older like me, you're going to have a smaller position in developing markets. I mean, I might have 5% in my portfolio in developing markets. You as a younger person might have 20%.
Yeah, younger, right.
Because you can take on more volatility. And then we get to Europe, which is a little bit less volatile, and the U.S., which is a little bit less volatile. But the U.S. is having its day, and then it will not. It'll be in a recession. I mean, right now, we're not projecting a recession in a very strong way, but we look at the recession probability in the next 2 years about 25%.
Disregarding any potential geopolitical tomfoolery, are there any black swans that you can think could hit the markets in 2018.
But 2018 is an election year. So we have been focused in 2017 with the new president on implementing policies. 2018, I think there'll be less emphasis on policies. Policies are getting work done, right?
Right.
But I think it'll be more political.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody, all the representatives will be working on being reelected.
Yeah.
And so there's a possibility that the Democrats could win the House in 2018, but not win the Senate. So that creates kind of a mix. Yeah. However, having said that, whenever the economy is doing really well, the incumbents,
right,
no matter what you think about them, how you feel about them, tend to stay in office.
So, I'm with you on that as a general thought. But I think that this year's election is a little bit of an anomaly. If the GDP is going at 4.5% and humming along, okay, maybe. If the GDP is between 2.5 and 3, that's status quo for expectations.
Yep.
And I don't think that the incumbents are going to fare well with that.
But when you see unemployment so low with people working, that's kind of the big part. If you're not working, then you're desperate.
Right.
You want to change.
That's true.
You're just looking for somebody to go after.
Right.
So here we have, you know, and I think we're going to see it as we go into 2018. We could get to 3.9 unemployment, 3.8. It's possible. And this is the lowest it's been, you know, forever.
Well, that forces the Fed's hand. I mean, that's one of its mandates, right? One of them is unemployment and the other is fiscal policy. So that forces the three raises.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
We have 2 minutes left, and I want to ask one thing. It's a little bit off, but I think it's in your wheelhouse. It's sustainable investing. I recently had somebody on from your firm, Morgan Stanley, from the home office in New York. and I had a couple of managers in here, too, to help me understand it a little bit. What are you seeing in this area of sustainable investing?
Well, it's really interesting because people that are socially responsible really want to know what they own in terms of investments. They may not want to own any sin stocks, you know, gambling stocks,
right,
et cetera. Okay. So back about 7 or 8 years ago when I started doing this, it was really hard to get the returns in socially responsible funds at par with funds that are not socially responsible. Fast forward to today, corporations now are really looking at the demographics of the population. And they're trying to be more socially responsible. They're having policies. I mean, this is oil companies. This is just about every company now is really sensitive to their labor costs. If they're doing it offshore, are the offshore people following labor rules now, whereas before that wasn't a concern? They're being more socially responsible because they know that the consumers, especially the millennials now and the younger people,
right,
really are concerned about, is this company that I'm investing in socially responsible? So now we could look at results of investing in socially responsible companies as opposed to where we're unrestricted, and the results are about the same now.
Okay.
And that's because companies are taking this seriously.
ROI parity.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
It's a different ball game, and consumers are more informed, and they want to know what the policies of a corporation. And now with women being so apparent in the environment and equality for everyone, glass ceilings, how many women? Is it representing the demographics of the United States? Is there parity?
Mm-hmm.
This is another concern that people are going to be looking at as they look at purchasing corporations.
I'm going to break my arm patting myself on the back. 5 years ago on another show, I said corporate social responsibility should be a board seat.
Mm-hmm.
And if not a board seat, it should definitely be a department head within a company.
And this is where it's all going.
We're starting
to
see it.
It should be unrestricted, and it should be the best person gets hired, and we help move people along.
You know what comes in lockstep with that, occurs to me, George, is transparency.
Exactly.
Corporate transparency, right. Guidance. You know, you're talking about earnings.
Right.
You got to read those guidance statements because that's where the predictives come in for these companies within each sector.
Exactly. Companies in their filings and in their articles of incorporation are all implementing the fact that they want to be responsible, they want to be fair, they want to be equitable, and they want to take some affirmative action.
Right on. George Nocetti, thank you so much for teeing up 2018. Let's check in, I don't know, maybe mid-year or so.
We'll check the report card.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see
if we're passing.
Yeah, right, we'll do midterm. We'll do midterms before we do the election.
Good.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, always good talking to Jason. Thank you.
That was George Nocetti. He's a wealth advisor with Morgan Stanley, and he's based in Walnut Creek, California. For links to his shop and all of our sourcing, check out the story that goes with this week's show. It lives at KGORadio.com. Coming up after the break, we talk hot topic and parlor game, Bay Area real estate. But the angle is more demographic than it is hard sales and pricing numbers. Another veteran analyst is coming up next, so please stick around for it. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.